What if we stopped just predicting the future and actually started, building it? Buckminster Fuller famously urged us to be architects of the future, not its victims. Today, we're taking a deep dive into a really unique event aiming to do just that, the Good Future Summit 2026.
Yeah, and for this deep dive, we've pulled together quite a bit of material. We've got excerpts from the summit's website, video transcripts with the founders, even a social media post. So it gives us a pretty comprehensive sort of behind-the-scenes look at what they're trying to do.
Right. And our mission today is to unpack the urgency behind the summit, explore its really ambitious vision for humanity, for the planet, and figure out how they plan to actually foster tangible action, moving beyond just talking about it, So let's start with the why. Why the summit? Why now? Our sources keep mentioning this phrase, a historic inflection point. What's driving that urgency?
What's fascinating is the founders, they seem to feel this profound sense of, urgency. It seems driven by a really pervasive global pessimism they're seeing. They actually cite a pretty startling statistic.
Oh, yeah.
72% of European couples under 35 think they will not have children because the future is bad.
Wow. 72%.
Yeah. I mean, that number alone really hammers home why they feel we desperately need a, quote, new story about how the future can be better. It's like they want to rewrite the narrative we're all hearing.
Okay, and they've zeroed in on three specific critical challenges that need this new story. First up is technological domination. We're talking AGI, genetic engineering, quantum computing. The speed is just dizzying. And they argue the question isn't just what can we create anymore, but why we create it and for whom.
Exactly. And Gerd Leonhard, one of the co-founders, he puts it quite powerfully. He says, we are at a point where technology can either enhance our humanity or diminish it. The choice is ours, and we must make it consciously.
He also challenges us to embrace technology, but don't become it. And interestingly, he says we don't just need better tools, we also need better telos.
Right, telos. And for anyone maybe less familiar, that's not just purpose, like we might normally use the word. It's an old Greek idea referring to our ultimate guiding aim, the real end goal that should shape what we do, especially with technology. It's about the deep why.
Got it. So a deeper purpose. Okay, challenge number two, the ecological crisis. The sources talk about an inescapable need for the, hit this, the fastest economic transition in history
Fastest ever.
to achieve things like zero natural loss, build sustainable food systems, get to zero carbon energy, develop circular economies. It sounds massive, but like Antonio Guterres said, the message seems to be it's collaborate or perish. Pretty stark.
Very stark. No middle ground there. And the third big one they highlight is social fragmentation. Rising inequality, social media kind of fueling polarization, public discourse just fracturing. It's threatening communities, even democracy itself. So the summit organizers are stressing this urgent need for new models, ones that prioritize collective well-being over short-term individual gain. That's a major shift.
Yeah, it really is. And it all seems to loop back to this core choice that Gerd Leonhard laid out on Twitter or X. He said, it is no longer about left or right in politics, nor is it about doomer or boomer in technology or AI. It's about a good future or a future. That is our choice.
That really puts a fine point on it, doesn't it?
It really does. A stark choice. So who are the people driving this? The visionaries behind it. We've got Gerd Leonhard, the futurist, and Pedro Lupa, the humanist. What's special about bringing these two together?
Well, their combination seems absolutely central to the whole idea. It's this deliberate balancing act. You have Leonhard's visionary foresight, looking at the trends, the tech horizon, and then Lupa brings this deep understanding of what it means to be human, and maybe more importantly, how to stay human through all this change. They're trying to get past what they see as the limits of typical conferences, lots of talk, but maybe not enough lasting human-focused action.
Okay, so Gerd Leonhard, he brings what, over 20 years advising leaders,
Well.
right, on the future of work, tech, humanity. So he provides that critical analysis, the strategic view, but always focused on like preserving essential human values.
Exactly. And then Pedro Lupa, his angle comes from expertise in human-centric ecosystems, conscious leadership, well-being. He really focuses on mental health, even calling it a sacred infrastructure.
Sacred infrastructure, interesting term.
Yeah. And his quote really captures it. The greatest challenges we face cannot be solved by logic alone. They require intuition, empathy, and a deep connection with ourselves and with others. It's about bringing in the heart, not just the head.
Okay, this is why I think it gets really interesting. How do they actually plan to, you know, guide people through all this complexity, give them a shared way to talk about it? They've introduced these two frameworks, the five P's and the four revolutions. What's the idea there?
Right. And the key thing they stress is that these aren't just like academic theories you read about. They're designed as practical tools. Tools for diagnosing where we are, for having productive conversations, and crucially, for designing actual solutions. A common language, basically.
Okay, let's break down the first one. The five P's, the pillars of a good future. What are they?
So the five P's, they represent the core elements they believe need to be pillars of this good future. First is people, focusing on human connection, well-being, development, putting people first.
Makes sense.
Second, planet, honoring our ecological interdependence, acting with regenerative responsibility.
Okay.
Third, purpose, aligning what we do with deeper meaning, looking beyond just short-term gains.
Right, that telos idea again.
Exactly. Fourth is prosperity, but defining it as abundance that's shared equitably and generated sustainably, not just GDP growth.
A different kind of prosperity. And the last one.
Fifth is peace, cultivating harmony, you know, within ourselves, in our communities, and globally.
People, planet, purpose, prosperity, peace.
Mm.
And how does that connect with the four revolutions?
So the four revolutions represent these massive waves of change, the big tides that are shaping everything, whether we like it or not. First is the geopolitical revolution, dealing with this new, multipolar, very interdependent world, where that collaborate or perish mantra really hits home.
Okay, the global shifts.
Second, the digital AI revolution. Figuring out how to harness science and tech for actual human flourishing, not just, you know, economic progress or efficiency.
Using tech for good.
Third, the sustainable revolution.
Yeah.
This massive push for green, circular, and sustainable everything.
Mm-hmm.
Energy, industry, transport, water, food. The whole system needs an overhaul.
That sounds like the biggest one. Maybe.
It's huge. And finally, the fourth revolution is purpose and humanity. The need to reconnect with our essential human values, our unique human skills, especially as the world gets more technological.
So the P's are the pillars we want to build, and the revolutions are the currents we have to navigate.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. The frameworks are meant to work together to provide that map and compass.
All right, so they have the frameworks, the visionaries. But how does the summit itself actually work? They say it's a transformative experience, a laboratory for tangible action. How do they make that happen? It sounds different from just attending talks.
It definitely seems designed to be different. And the location is a big part of that. It's in Lanzarote, Canary Islands, specifically Yaisa, which has this nickname, La Isla Diferente.
Which means?
The island of the forge or the ironworks. It's a powerful metaphor, right? A place to shape and forge new ideas. They explicitly talk about using nature as teacher, making the environment an active participant. The idea is to disrupt people's normal routines, get them thinking differently.
Interesting. And who gets to go? It's not just open registration, right?
No, it's curated. They're aiming for 500 architects of tomorrow. It's a mix. Leaders, creators, artists, technologists, scientists, futurists, public thinkers. And they specifically want to mix ages, young people with older, experienced folks. Scientists with artists. Tech people with business leaders. Like building a diverse team.
Like the Avengers for the future, I said earlier.
Kind of, yeah. And it's very international. They expect 70% of attendees from outside the Canaries or Spain.
So you get this diverse group together in this special place. What do they do? Is it just keynotes?
Definitely not just keynotes. They blend powerful keynotes, talks, and presentations with things like interactive workshops, innovation labs, and moderated dialogues. The sources are really clear. It will not just be talking heads. The goal is active engagement.
Okay, active engagement. What does that look like?
Well, they mention integrating music, cinema, dance, and mindfulness practices. So it's multi-sensory. There's even a specific gastronomic experience planned, focusing on local, organic, vegetarian, vegan options. Even the food is part of the experience.
Right, no standard conference chicken. It sounds holistic.
Very holistic. And they also plan for people to actually experience technology firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
You might get to try out self-driving cars, robots, AI, VRMR applications. There's mention of a human AI collaboration lab.
Okay, so hands-on tech.
But balanced, right, because they also offer mindfulness, meditation, mind-body sessions, and even things like thematic walks. Imagine a geopolitics walk or a silence walk, learning while moving, while experiencing.
That does sound different. So the core idea is that participants aren't just listening, they're
collaborators. That's the word they use. Not an audience, but collaborators.
Yeah.
The explicit goal is to prototype solutions to real-world challenges, to build ecosystems of collaboration. And it all culminates in creating a collective Good Future Manifesto to be published after the event.
A manifesto? What's that involve?
Well, they stress it's not just a summary of talks. It's meant to be a list of action items actually created by the participants during the summit. This process requires dialogue, negotiation, compromise even. It fosters this sense of collective responsibility for what comes next. It's their plan.
So taking all this in, the location, the people, the activities, the manifesto, what's the ultimate ambition here? It sounds like more than just a one-off event.
Oh, much more. They're quite explicit about it. The summit aims to be a catalyst for a new human renaissance.
A new renaissance, that's bold.
Wold is right, or re-enlightenment, they also call it. The idea is to integrate things that have often been seen as separate, like reason with intuition, individual rights with collective responsibility, technological progress with ecological wisdom. It's aiming for a really profound shift in how we think and operate. A rebalancing.
And the sources spell out this paradigm shift they're aiming for pretty clearly. It's a move.
Yeah, it's from things like short-term profit focus, antagonistic politics, tech without clear purpose, extreme individualism, and these narratives of crisis and doom.
Right, from that.
Towards things like long-term regenerative value, collaborative governance that's ready for the future, conscious and purpose-driven innovation, balancing individual and collective needs, and I really like this phrasing, hope as a practice rooted in action.
Hope as a practice rooted in action. That suggests hope isn't just passive wishing, it's something you actively do.
Exactly. It implies effort, commitment.
When you look at those shifts from short-term profit to regenerative value, from polarization to collaboration, which one feels like the biggest hurdle, the hardest change to actually make happen?
That's a tough question. I mean, moving away from the deeply ingrained focus on short-term profit maximization feels like a monumental cultural and systemic challenge. But then again, so does overcoming the intense political polarization we see everywhere. They're all interconnected, really.
Yeah, they feed into each other. So, okay, we've taken a deep dive into this really ambitious vision for the Good Future Summit 2026. It's happening May or June 2026 in Lanzarote. And the core aim seems to be shifting us all from just watching the future unfold to actively co-creating a better one.
Yeah, and that quote from Pedro Lupo really sticks with me. The greatest challenges we face cannot be solved by logic alone. They require intuition, empathy, and a deep connection with ourselves and with others. It really makes you think, beyond just attending a summit, how do you listen and cultivate those uniquely human skills in our daily lives, especially with technology accelerating all around us?
That's the question, isn't it? If the choice truly is, as Gridley and Hart suggests, between a good future or a future, well, how will you actively contribute to designing the one we actually desire?